I was in line at the Portland airport, minding my own business. I had my shoes off. I was doing all the things. And then I was randomly selected for some special fun. They pulled me out of line because they needed to randomly do a special check. A random search, they would call it. But I have to say, it didn't feel like a search. It felt more like a medical examination. And the hard part is, they don't take you off to a special room. It's all right there with the hundreds of people all around you. So that's fun. And it's embarrassing. I felt a little bit exposed, all the checking and prodding and scanning, all for the eye to see. I'm sure people had a great time with that, felt a little violated. They didn't find anything, okay? I know you're thinking, oh, they got the contraband. I didn't have anything. I don't know what they were looking for anyway. But has anybody else here ever had the pleasure of such fun? A few of us? Maybe we can start a support group on this this search, they call it. It's not fun, right, to be examined, prodded, all those sorts of things, whether that's at the doctor or in an airport. I mean, the thing is, here's this. A search in an airport is one thing. But what about when we're examined and called to account in our regular life? Whether that be, you know, maybe with a boss, or maybe there's a moment with a spouse or a friend or something. Someone's kind of calling you out, examining you a little bit, searching you a little bit. Maybe that starts to feel a little uncomfortable too, where the questions are coming at you and you feel defensive. Have you been there before? Maybe you've been there, and it's like it's not always fun to feel like you're under the gun and have to explain yourself or even confront our own weaknesses, right? We don't even really like to admit that there might be some things down here that might need some working on. We're not comfortable with our own sinfulness. And sometimes with our behavior, we get really, really good at hiding and justifying, and just simply refusing to admit that we struggle or we have a weakness. This is a problem for us. But on the flip side, what if healing only happens when we are willing to let God into every area of our life? All the places, all the rooms, all the spaces. What if healing actually only happens when we are willing to do that? What if God actually only wants to help us? Imagine that. What if God actually wants to empower us to fight the battle we feel like we can't fight? Imagine that. What if God's Holy Spirit wants to do a cleaning, a reckoning, a way to get us healthy again? It's like God is our great physician and He would love to help. And sometimes we're unwilling to admit that we need help. It's kind of like going to the doctor, right? And the doctor's asking you, or your PA, or nurse practitioner, whatever the cool kitschy thing is, and they're asking the questions on the health stuff, right? And you lie. Well, the problem is, and they know you're lying, by the way, that's not the best, because it's going to hurt you, right? In the long run, you got to be honest with what's going on. What if God wants to be that great physician? We allow Him into every area of our life, even all the difficulties and habits and hang-ups. What if God just wants to do a miracle in our lives? Well, we're starting a series called Dangerous Prayers. That seems like an odd phrase to put together. Dangerous prayers, a bit like an oxymoron. But I wonder, don't we play it safe sometimes when it comes to our faith and even the size of our prayers? You know what I mean? I wonder if we're playing it safe sometimes with what we're praying for. I know some of you have like prayer lists and that sort of thing. Those are good, but I just kind of wonder, are our prayers a little, are they tame? I mean, look, it's easy when we start praying, oh God, you know, bless me, fix me, heal me, be with me, watch over me. It's not like those prayers are wrong, but I just wonder if they're enough. If they're not big enough for us, bold enough. What if God wants more for you and I? And that's really what we're aiming for in this series, that we would be willing to pray some prayers that are bigger, maybe even a little more dangerous, because I truly believe that when we're willing, God wants to do big things in our life. Maybe more than the mediocre existence that we have right now. I really believe we will unlock what God wants to do when we're willing to pray bigger, dangerous prayers. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And if you've ever prayed with me, ever, you probably heard me say this phrase. And I'm going to pray this over us now. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Immeasurably more than we can ask or even think. I think God wants to do some bigger things, and we need to be bold enough to be willing to even pray bigger prayers. Yes, even dangerous prayers. Look at this. If God answered everything that you prayed for this last year, if God answered all of it, would your life be that different? Would it be spectacular? Would it be just crazy amazingly? You can't believe it? And if the answer is no, maybe it's time for us to ask dangerous prayers, to ask God to really do something big, to not pray these mediocre sort of prayers, but to actually go big. Who is ready for more? As I am. Are you ready for more? More than meh. I want spectacular. So it might just start with a prayer that we're going to start with today, which is, search me. Search me. It comes from one of my favorite ancient songs in the Bible, Psalm 139. Beautiful, beautiful passage. We're going to focus on kind of the ending of that psalm. But if you're unfamiliar with it, this week become familiar with it. Some of those beautiful phrases in the ancient Hebrew scriptures. Amazing. We're starting dangerous prayers, and the first one is search me. I'm Pastor Ben. I'm glad you're here with us today. Since we're talking about prayer, let's pause and let's pray. Father, we come before you and we boldly ask for you to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, even think, according to your power at work within us. Father, do a mighty work amongst our church family, in our individual families. Father, would you do more than we can possibly even think about? God, we boldly approach your throne with confidence because of your son Jesus, and we want you to do powerful things. And so this morning, we courageously pray, search me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 139. You probably heard some of this psalm and you didn't even know it. Some of the phrasing in Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, in the psalmist talks about how there's nowhere we can escape from God's loving presence. He's with us. If we go to the seas, he's there. If we go down to the depths, he's there. If we go to the heights, he's there. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. And that psalm also talks about before we were ever born, God was knitting us together, designing us exactly how he wanted each of us to be. Beautiful psalm. But we're going to focus in on just the last two verses. So if you have a Bible or a device, I encourage you to pick that up. There's some Bibles around here. I don't know what page it is, but it's Psalm 139 at the end of it. And if you can, would you stand with me? This is God's word. It's good stuff. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can we read that one more time? Don't let that go by you. Maybe even close your eyes for a second. I'll read it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can sit down. Isn't that good stuff? But scary in some ways, right? Search me. You're inviting God to do some examination work in your life. Some of you are medical professionals, and you know that always makes people a little bit nervous when they got to go and see you. Because examination exposes things. It's bringing light to areas. And so this prayer is asking God to do some of that work in our lives. This is an invitation for God to reveal any of our idolatry. We don't use that term very often. What is an idolatry? What does that mean? Anyone or anything above God. That's idolatry. So this prayer is asking God to expose that. It's also exposing our motivation, our heart's integrity, why we do what we do. This prayer is exposing our hypocrisy, where our actions don't line up with what we say we believe. Heavy stuff, right? It exposes our fear. We're failing to trust God in certain areas. It exposes our fear, and it exposes unbelief that is tossed here and there by different doubts and different things, and it exposes our sin. Any actions that we're doing that hurt us and are separating us from God's best for us. So if we were to break this down, are you ready? This is, you're like, wow, this seems heavy. Why did I come to church today? You're welcome. Okay. Let's break this down. There's like four parts to this, and the first one was search my heart, right? It's easy, seems easy, also scary. Search my heart. Look in, God. What you're doing is you're saying, look, I'm gonna expose here. I want you to see everything. I want you, God, to have access to every room. I'm gonna give you the keys to every room in my heart's house, and you get access to every room. Let that just sit for a while. What rooms do we not want God in? Hey, search me. You're invited, Lord, to come in, take a good hard look. See, we're facing a world that seems enamored by this whole idea. You've heard it before a million times. Just follow your heart. The scripture says something different. The scripture said, no, no, no. Don't let that be your guide. That is a mistake. Jeremiah 17:9 talks about our heart can be sick. And our heart can deceive us. And the deal is, the scripture tells us that the only one that can fix that heart, that cold, deceived, sick heart, the only one who's able to fix it is God. He's the only one that can reach in and examine our hearts, grab that heart that's cold, it's not beating, and he can make it beat again. He can bring life to that cold heart. It needs a God-shaped fix. Nothing else can do that. See, if you pray this prayer, this first part of the prayer especially, God may indeed show you some areas that you don't want to see. They say this is the me that I don't want you to see. God is going to shine some light in some areas here that he wants to show you. And he's not doing it to be cruel. He's doing it because he so much loves us that he wants healing for us. He wants renewal. He wants a transformed life. Search my heart. Are you willing to pray that prayer? Search my heart. Well, here's the next one. You ready? The phrase is, try me and know my thoughts. Now, you could say it this way, reveal my thoughts and my fears. Reveal my thoughts and my fears. What do you get anxious or fearful about right now? Maybe a particular election? You might be feeling that way. What makes you anxious in life? What makes you fear? No, I'm not talking about snakes and spiders, although I don't like snakes. Losing your job, funding your retirement, losing a marriage, losing a friendship. That's happening, right? What do we fear? What makes us anxious? What makes us lose sleep at night? Maybe losing someone to death. Getting older. Making the wrong career choice. The wrong marriage choice. There's some young people in this room. And I feel for you. I pray for you. Because it is a scary thing. I remember being an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, and trying to figure out, how in the world am I supposed to know this person that I'm marrying is going to really want to stay with me for this long? That's a big decision. And some of you young people are having to face that ahead. And maybe you're fearing that. There may be a lot of things that we're fearing. And it's been said, and I didn't say it, someone much smarter, we often fear the most things where we don't trust God. See, we fear things where we don't trust God. So those things that we fear the most are usually areas that we're not trusting God in. And so what are you not trusting God in? What do you think he's not big enough to take care of? Right? Let these scriptures help you. Some of these scriptures got me through COVID. They help me. And maybe they can be an encouragement to you. Maybe write them down. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Have you heard that phrase before? That's powerful. Maybe that's what you needed to hear today. There is no fear in love. If God loves us so much like he's proven to us, we have nothing to fear. And perfect love casts out fear. How about this one from 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7? Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he might exalt you. Casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Bring it all to him. These things, these fears, these anxieties, bring them all to him. And he will take care of it. Why? Because he cares for you. That means everything. Maybe you needed to hear that today. We can bring it all there. We can't handle it. We give it to him. And he cares for us. Oh, that's so good. How about this one from Philippians 4? This passage, the whole chapter of Philippians 4 is amazing. I can't believe the writer Paul could write like this while he's sitting in prison, unsure if he's going to die there. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's looking out the prison doors and he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He knew God was right there with him. The Lord is at hand. Do not, this is what Paul's writing in prison. Do not be anxious about anything. It's a command. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is awesome. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is awesome. This peace of God that we can't even explain, we have access to. We cast all of our cares because we don't have to be anxious anymore. Perfect love casts out fear. We put that on him. Do not be anxious about everything or anything. We're praying to God. He guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is powerful. One more. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is our writer Paul again, now writing to his protege Timothy. And he said this, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We do not get a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. So, Lord, reveal my thoughts, reveal my fears, take them. That's good, isn't it? Man. All right, there's more to this prayer. Are you ready? This is dangerous. We're dangerous territory. Uncover my sins. The phrase says, and see if there be any grievous way in me, right? In other words, uncover my sins. This is fun and comfortable territory, isn't it? Uncover my sins. Reveal those faults. And sometimes they're obvious and sometimes they're not obvious, right? It's basically we're asking God, help me see what I either can't or refuse to see. Help me see it. Lord, reveal my blind spots. We all have them. What are my blind spots? Show us where we're justifying sin because, well, that's just who I am. Boys will be boys. Everyone's doing it. I'm not hurting anybody else. You see these lies we tell ourselves? Lord, expose, uncover my sin. Show me where I have been justifying to the hilt. Lord, expose my sin. This is dangerous territory. If you have people who love you in your life, and they care about you, and they're close to you, and you find that they're telling you that they're concerned for you in a certain area, listen. Drop the defensiveness and listen. They love you and they care for you and they're concerned because you might be hurting yourself. This is a really important voice, especially in the church family. This has nothing to do with judging each other. It has everything to do with loving each other. Is there an area that you find you're defensive on? Maybe that's an area that God wants to expose. Not to shame you, to heal you, to bring you on a better path. Uncover my sins. Are you brave enough to pray that prayer? Own it. Confess it. Pursue righteousness, and healing. It's been said that we confess our sin to God for forgiveness, and we confess our sin to each other for healing. I think that's a good way to look at it. Because when we bring others in, we're bringing light in. We're asking their help too. God, I need your help. I need my brothers and sisters. I need my band of brothers and sisters to help me. And that's what the church family's all about. So where are we at so far? So search me. Whew. Search my heart. Bring in the light. Bring in the, shine the light in. Every room is open to you, Lord. Show me what's going on. Search my heart. And then reveal my thoughts, my fears. Expose those anxieties so that I can trust you, Lord. And then uncover my sins. Show me my blind spots. Lord, I want to confess to you for forgiveness. I want to confess to my brothers and sisters for healing. And finally, lead me. Which is interesting because now these other first three things were more about examination and revelation. Lord, reveal these things, right? It was more like, hey, show me stuff and point these things out. Now we got an action item. Now we're asking God to lead me. That is, guide me in the ancient paths of your righteousness. Guide me in those ancient paths that are going to echo for eternity. The prayers so far, again, have been very much about revealing and exposing. But now, what do I do with what you showed me, Lord? What do I do with what you've shown me? What are the action items I need to do? What do I need to change? This is the part of the prayer of putting into practice what you know to be true about God's Word. Putting into practice what you know about God's Word. I think Jesus said it best at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, anybody that hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he is like a person who has decided to build their house, build their life on solid rock. And so when all the craziness of life comes, that's going to stand because you put your foundation on my teachings and that you put them to practice. But the person who hears what I said and does not put them into practice, he's like a fool who put his house on sand. And whenever life gets crazy, that thing is just blown away, never to be seen again. He's calling us to do something with what we know. Here, I love James. You were worried I was going to go to the book of James. Here we go. James is highly practical. If you're not familiar with James, be familiar with it. Here we go. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Whew. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. Right? And he looks at himself and goes away and forgets once again what he was like. You know that big thing that needed to be wiped off, and he's walking away, forgetting about it. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So Lord, lead me. You've revealed all these things. Now lead me. Show me what I need to do with what I know now. Get me some help. Guide me. That's what we're asking. You see, knowing without doing is tragic. It's tragic. It's sad that we would be told the truth and just either pretend we didn't hear it or just ignore it. Knowing without doing is tragic. See, God has done the work of revealing what's going on. Now we know, right? Now we know where we're wrong. And so now we can make some corrections, get on a better path. He's revealed our blind spots. So what are we going to do about it? Right? He's exposed it, showed it to us. You ready for James again? You thought you had an out. Nope. Check it out, James 4:17. If you're not familiar with James 4:17, here it is. So whoever... Do you want to hear this? So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's sin. Right? The doctor has given you the prescription. The doctor has given you the diagnosis. So what are you going to do? The great physician wants to heal us. The great physician wants the best life force we could possibly imagine. He wants to do, my passage again, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power. And so search me, Lord. Reveal, expose, and then, Lord, lead me. Lead me. When you pray this prayer, it's giving God permission. He's got full access everywhere to look in the depths of your heart and the depths of my heart. And what's he going to find there? Deal with any offensive way in me, Lord. That's what we're asking. God, I believe when we ask that prayer, when we pray to him that way, he will indeed reveal what needs to happen. I believe he will. He will show us, here's what you got going on. And so we just need to be willing to hear him. You know, maybe that prayer could be, Lord, where am I rationalizing? Where am I worshiping the created things rather than you, the creator? Where am I not trusting you? You know, where am I not pursuing good in my life? Do you have the courage this day to pray this prayer with me, to search me? Do you have the courage to let God search out, examine your heart, every part of your life? This is a dangerous prayer, but I believe it's a healing prayer. It's an invitation for God to do so much in our lives. I mean, I think we're hungry for more than just mediocre. I think we're hungry for more than just passionless faith and meh. I think we want so much more. I hope you do, because I do. Until the kingdom comes, I want to be about the good stuff that God's called us to do, the big stuff, where God would do great things through us. Pray the prayer. As one commentator put it like this, and I'm wrapping it up, Lord, tell me what you see in my life. If there's anything that offends you, I want to know about it. Then show me how to overcome it. That's the lead me part. Right? Can we agree that that's something we all need today? Are you willing? Imagine all of us willing to pray this prayer this week. That we would be willing to say, okay, God, search me, reveal these things, and then show me what to do about it. And God might just have a brother or sister helping you with that. Not because they want to shame you, because they love you. Lord, search me. Let's get away from these boring, sterile, sanitized prayers, and let's go big. Right? What do they say? Go big or go home? Let's pray this dangerous prayer. I want you to bow your heads and let's pray this together. Don't pray it unless you mean it. We're looking. No. Let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, search me. Amen.